9, verse 6, we are continuing our study in the life of Paul. I received a phone call this morning from the Gunnels, Art and Gloria. They are at the, I was going to say plane station, but that ain't right. They're at the airport, and they are waiting for their ride home, except that's not going to come till around 1:30-ish. So pray for them as they prepare to travel. What did I say? Acts chapter 9, verse 6. And going back to Paul's conversation or his conversion with the Lord, he says, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men were speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. What immediately happened, I believe we left off with this last week, what immediately happened is Jesus Christ was Lord. There was no time period where he waited. There was no, I was saved today, but 6 years later, I made Jesus Christ my Lord. Nope, he's your Lord already. And well, all right, well, I'm not saved, so Jesus isn't my Lord. I don't have to listen to him. Nope, he's your Lord anyway. He is going to have his will done. He is going to move upon this earth. You're not going to be able to beat him. You're not going to be able to outsmart him, which is a wonderful thought because he only means the best for you, right? Even in the punishments, even in the trying to get your attention, he only ever means the best for you. Now, if this was the boogeyman, that'd be a terrible thought. He knows everywhere I am. He knows everywhere I go. He can move things around, shift things in my life. He can cause things to come my way, to chastise me, to bring me back. Oh, what a terrible thing. No, he wants the best for you. Intent means a lot. Intent means a lot. We see that he immediately submitted himself to be the servant. Lord, he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? What do you want of me? What can I do for you? He submitted to the Spirit of God. Acts chapter 9, verse 17. We're in 9 now, so 17 is just a quick little jog away. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. All right, and that's again the indwelling that comes for us, that indwelling that comes to us when we are saved. And he submitted to this. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. It means to walk in the Spirit. Now, when we say control here, it's still you. It's still you making the decisions. It's still you making the movements, right? But it is a matter of submission. My wife, she requested that we order some mouse traps, and I said, fantastic. She says, no, I want you to get the live traps. Now, growing up, when we were out in the woods, or we were up north, we were somewhere, we didn't have any mice in the apartment, but if we were out at Mama and Papa's and there was mice, that's when we got our BB guns out. I was told this is inappropriate behavior and that we were not to do that in front of the children. She says, I want live traps. So I said, I don't think you want live traps. She says, I want live traps. So I go out and I buy live traps. Why? Because that's what my wife said and that's what I did. Now, of course, the funny thing is, the very next morning, we catch the little guy, and now all the children are gathered around the mouse. You're probably writing the rest of this story already in your head. One of them goes, well, what are we going to do with it? And Caspian goes, he's very cute. Gideon says, I bet we could keep him in my room. Melody, for some odd reason, says we should eat it. I've got it on video. You won't believe it. It's weird. She's talking about peppers, salts, just going to put it all up in there. And I looked over at my wife, and she looked over at me, and she says, oh. She goes, well, I was going to take him out back, and I was going to let him out into the woods.
And immediately, three little faces. He'll freeze. Look at his little toes. Look at his little tail. He'll die out there, Mom. He'll die out there. Now, long story short, we let him out in the woods. But very important lesson was learned that day. I want you to get a live trap. I don't think you want that. It is possible for us to still make mistakes and still have bad ideas when it comes down to the Holy Spirit. It's still possible. And you're still going to sin. We are not talking about a marionette puppetry type control that the Holy Spirit has. It goes like this. Read your Bible. Oh, yes. You know that thing you're fixing to say? Yeah, don't. You see that person over there? Yeah. Go talk to them. It is that impulse that is counterintuitive to everything that makes you you. When you bite your tongue, that urge to bite your tongue, that memory verse or that Bible verse that pops into your head and you aren't even thinking about it. That song that comes up, that hymn that comes up into your mind when you're in a bad kind of a way. That is the Holy Spirit moving upon you. If you say, oh, so I'm controlled by God, we're just puppets? No, you have a master, and you have to answer to him. You have to listen. But again, if this was some tyrant, some megalomaniac, some selfish person looking for nothing else but complete control and your misery, what a terrible thought that is. But if they keep giving you the right answer, and your life by nature of serving that master gets better and better. If his motive is for you to have not just life, but life more abundant, well, that's somebody willing to follow. Well, I don't follow anybody. I'm a maverick. There's no such thing. Everybody follows somebody. It's all a matter of whether or not that person is worth following. I've heard people that are trying to make life decisions. So you know who they tend to go to if you're more carnal minded? You go to the person who's going to tell you yes. Same thing with kids. They will go to the parent most likely to tell them yes. I've got four kids. Only one of them ever asks me for things. When you had a boss, if you're still working, when you have a boss, there's that boss who's more likely to say yes. There's that boss who's more likely to help you when you mess up. Who do you go to? You go to them. But the fact of the matter is, we don't need the person who will tell us what we want to hear. We want to go to the person who will tell us the truth and will be the best help to us. We need to go to the God who knows what is right. A God who has established right and wrong. A God who is never wrong about the outcomes of those decisions. And we submit to him. Instead of that YouTuber, instead of that book writer, instead of that whoever. You could literally insert anybody in there. And I've heard people refer to people like them and end up with their lives a hot mess. Well, you see, I was thinking about taking this job at the bar, and I didn't ask my pastor what he thought, and I didn't ask my mom and dad what they thought, and I didn't ask my friends what they thought, because I knew they would all say the same thing. They would all say that it's a terribly bad idea. And they go in, and they take the job, and they see things that tear them apart, and they have to deal with things that put them in fear, because that's what kind of atmosphere you get around there. You sit there, you can have 100 good customers in a place like that, and one of them will kill you. One of them will chase you home. One of them will do something to completely change the way you see the rest of your life. Well, there's 100 good. All it takes is one with a knife. All it takes is one who can't handle. Next thing you know, your life's changed. And you don't get to pick how it's changed. God says, stay away from this element. Stay away from these things. And we go, well, you know what? There is this pastor my friend has who owns a bar. Let me go talk to him. And we could put any kind of bias we want in there. Well, I'll go talk to this person who's been doing it for forever and see if they think that it's good. Now, we need to speak to somebody who's a little bit more in the middle. Somebody who doesn't have a dog in the fight. Listen, I don't own the opposite of a nightclub. It does me no good to tell you to stay out of a nightclub. That's what's always bothered me about this world. Well, they just don't want you to do it. Why? What do I get? If I say stay away from lying, cheating, whatever, if I say stay away from these chemicals that affect your brain, what do I get? The DARE program I went to in high school and middle school doesn't show up with $50 for every person I chase away from a good time. There's no benefit for me. There's tons of benefit for the people. If I sit there and I tell you to do justly and to walk humbly and to have mercy on other people, I don't get a benefit out of it. So why on earth would pastors, preachers, and teachers beat on their pulpits and tell you to stay away from those things? Why would God call them out multiple times over 66 books of the Bible? Why would he do that if there's no benefit to them? Because there's benefit for us. So what do? And instead of following the crowd, instead of chasing after the world, we listen to him. Those people who try to sell you on quote-unquote a good time, just come out with us, just do this, just do that, and you know what they're asking you to do is sin. For those television shows and that music and the whatever that we know we ought not be putting into our minds, they have something to gain. The person selling a product needs to sell the product. Of course they're going to tell you it leads to the best life ever. Of course they're going to tell you that there are mental, physical, and social benefits to sin. Of course they are. Well, it's good for you. But they're not going to sit there when you're in the middle of a divorce. They're not going to sit there when your kids got a hold of it. They're not going to come over and hold your hand at the hospital because you got taken out by some drunk driver. It wasn't even your fault. They're not going to sit there and hold your hand. They're not going to pay your bill. They're not going to take care of you. You won't even get a card. But they want your money. They want your attention. They want your time. Everybody serves somebody. Everybody does. There's no mavericks. There's no hot rods out there. Right? All of our lives, and some of you have been here for a few more decades than I have. All of our lives, there's been an element, and it's been a large element that says, well, we're counterculture. I wasn't old enough to know about Woodstock. I wasn't even born yet. But all those people, we're counterculture. We're very important people. We're different. You see how many people are in those pictures? You're not a maverick. You're not a hot shot. You're one of a million heading to the slaughter. One of a million going out there chasing the wrong kind of elements, and you're going to get tore up by them, and then one day you'll answer for it before God. Well, I'm saved. I'm not going to answer for it. You think standing before God with nothing in your hand because you've given your life to sin and distraction, you think that's not going to mess with you just a little bit? You think that's not going to mess with you? Of course it's going to mess with you. You're going to have to stand before God going, these are all the things God gave me. This is all I did with it. I did nothing. Oh no, we need to serve. We need to submit to the Holy Spirit. Go to Acts chapter 9 verse 18, just one verse down from where we just left off. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Now there's a very modern movement out there among people who call themselves Baptists. All right, they are Reformed Baptists. They question the authority behind baptism. There's a young guy out there, grew up in a good church, had a good, strong, solid pastor. He has been on social media bashing what we believe baptism to be. Well, you don't have to be baptized. Baptism is good, but it's not for church membership. You're not submitting to anything. Folks, what was the first thing Paul did? He was baptized. Now listen, I would hate to argue against modern thought and theory. I'd hate to argue against all of the pages and papers and books that have been read. But the Bible says the moment he was saved, the moment he could see again, he got into the water. He submitted to scriptural baptism, meaning what? He became a member of the church. Because there's no serving the Lord outside of it. There's no serving the Lord outside of it. Well, what do you mean? When I come to your door and I say I'm Pastor Matt Rowland from Home Missionary Baptist Church, the honor and glory goes where? Goes to the Lord, because it's not me. But when I come to your door and I shake your hand, I'm Matt Rowland from Matt Rowland Ministries. Who gets the honor and glory? I do. Well, brother, that's not, people don't, yes, they do. Look at these big hotshot preachers. Look at what happens when it's found out they're having an affair on their wife. They're embezzling from the church. Look at what happens. Church numbers decrease. You've got people on the news going, well, I don't know what I believe anymore. If he could fail, I don't know what I believe anymore. That's exactly what happens. Well, you see this book? I wrote this book outside of church. I'm not really a member of a church. I visit a lot of different churches, but I see myself as more spiritual than I, or my personal favorite. I love God, but I don't like organized religion. God says, let everything be done decently and in order. That's like having a spouse who's OCD, but you like making a mess. What are you doing? No, instead we seek God as He is. We serve God. But ultimately we do so in and through His New Testament church. Now, does that mean every little thing I do? Like, do I need to sit there and call into the pastor, call into the deacons before I go out and give the gospel? No, that's your responsibility in the church. There's a lot of things that we do around here. Not everything needs to be micromanaged. Things work well, in my opinion. And if things are not going well and I don't know about it, please let me know. Let's fix it. But, no, the first thing he did was baptism. Baptism is the first act of obedience for a believer. It is the statement that we make. I believe. He what? He died. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose from the grave. That is what we are telling the world in a very public way. This is what I believe. And in doing so, we say, yes, come on in. You are one of us. Come on in. Here, let's teach you. Well, I don't need anybody to teach you me. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Well, I've learned for a very long time. You know what I find? Now, I've studied the Bible. I really have. But the more times I go through Scripture and the more I study, the more I desire structure. The more I desire someone to take me places I haven't been before. Now, not teach me things brand new. Teach me biblical things that perhaps I haven't considered. Because once you start filling in the gaps pretty good, you lose sight of where the other gaps are. You always need a teacher. You know what I'll do on a Sunday when everybody's gone home and they're eating lunch? I'll sit down and I'll listen to some sermons. On a Monday, I love to sit down and listen to some sermons. Spiritually, I like to eat spiritually just as much as I do physically, believe it or not. I need it. The more you know, it seems the more direction that you require. And it's important for us to maintain, have that teaching. I love devotion times. I love hearing the men come forward and bring things. Go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. The importance of being in church. Well, you know, I could do church from home. That's not what the Bible says. Well, I could do church on the road. You know, I've often found out, and I ask a lot of questions to these people who will sit there and tell me, well, I don't need church. I can have church everywhere I go. You know, I ask them, well, what does that look like for you? How much time do you spend doing this? When you take the time, what they often do? They often don't have answers for that. I have found that the people who claim they can have church everywhere are sadly the people who have church nowhere. And church is not a verb. Church, you can't use, well, I could have church here, I could have church there. No, what is a church? A church is a called out assembly. Called out for what? Called out for this business right here in verse 25. But exhorting one another, and so much the more. As time goes by, as we get closer to the end, exhort each other more and more and more. I've got a friend. She's a friend now, but growing up, she was one of my students in Sunday school. Always wanted to be a nurse. Grew up, that's exactly what she became. She's a nurse. She moved down to Kentucky with a very good plot of land down there, and she just got a husband. They have a baby. She's a nurse. And, you know, we get to talking a little bit. And you know what? Sometimes she misses Sunday evening. Sometimes she misses Wednesday. And that happens. But for those that have had strong schedules or hard schedules, it's hard. This verse does not mean never miss a single service. Now look at me. We should be here as often as we can. You stub your toe, I believe in you. You can come. Okay? You look outside and it's cold, right? Oh, it's cold out there. Be brave, little toaster. Come on in. So I tell Melody all the time, be brave, little toaster. We watched that movie when she was a baby. Be brave. But if you're sick, stay home. The heart here is that every time we get the opportunity, we go. If you're missing Friday mornings, and by the way, I didn't check. Did we have Friday morning? I know I kind of, nobody showed up. Brother Wade was here. If you miss that, I'm not sitting here writing sermons about missing church. If you've got a specific schedule and it takes you away from one service, let's say Wednesday, there's no picking on you. Right? Because I've seen people come here for a conference. I've seen people come here on a Sunday morning. I've seen people be consistent in their coming. You may be sick. You may have something special going on. You may have a thing. Now listen, if you're missing Sundays because you're going to birthday parties, I'm a little upset about that. But if there's something specific going on, and it takes you out of a Wednesday, it takes you out of a Friday morning, it takes you out of a ladies or a fellas fellowship. Fellas fellowship, that's good. We're going to write that down. Don't expect me to come over and... Why? Because when you're better, I know I'm going to see you. That's the kind of church we have. We had a visitor one time pulled me aside. They said, it's weird. I was here on Sunday morning. I go, yep. I was here on Sunday night. I go, yes, you were. Same people. I go, I know. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it's supposed to be. And you know what? We get roughly the same numbers on a Wednesday that we do Sunday. We're a little weird here. Sometimes we'll get our visitors on a Wednesday. I have no idea. Normally you get your visitors on a Sunday. We've been getting visitors on a Wednesday. We'll take it. But being sick, taking a vacation every now and then, having a hard-line schedule, whatever have you, you know, I think, you know, not to single the girls out, but you go off to college. You got a college, something like that. We're not going to sit there and bring anybody up for missing church for a large swath of time just because you're off to college. I would have been excluded a dozen times. We don't do that. When they come back, when Heidi comes back, here we are. When you get feeling better, you come back, here we are. The difference is the motive. If you're at home because it's too chilly, if you're at home because, man, I got to get the laundry done, if you're at home because, man, the dishes are out of control, if you're at home because the family stopped by and they're not taking the hint to get out the door, different animal. You following me? Different animal. You know, I've met too many people. Well, I was sick for 3 weeks. And when I got back to church, the pastor read me the Riot Act. And I got in trouble because I said, well, then you should have told him to come on over to your house, lay his hands on you and heal you. Well, he can't do that. Well, if he can't do that, nobody can. What's he expect out of you? Now, somebody sat there, they go, oh, I've been on vacation. I go on vacation and we leave out Saturday and we come back Saturday. We got back, we only go 2, maybe 3 times a year. We come back, and nobody in the church wants to shake our hand. They're upset at us. We took a vacation. If you take a vacation and you're out of the church for, you know, 7, 8, 9 Sundays in a row, you and me are going to talk. Yes, I get that you're having fun. But you're missing the things. You're missing the exhortation. You're missing the building up. I knew one fella. He got to the point of retirement. He got to the point to where his daughters were taking care of him. He had one daughter live down south. One daughter lives up north. When the winter, guess what he does? He snowbirds on down. They come up. They pick him up. They pick up all of his medical stuff. They take it down there, and they proceed to take care of him medically down there. Now, if he didn't do that, if there wasn't someone taking care of him, he'd be in trouble. I've also known some people to sit there and said, well, it's too cold up here in Michigan, and for no reason other than the fact that we don't want to be in Michigan, we're out of here. That's not how church membership works. You with me? There is a grand difference. If we have the ability to be in church, we should be in church for any and everything. But that doesn't mean you're always going to be at everything. Listen, we don't know how many times the apostles and the early churches, we don't know how often they got together. But whether they got together once a month, every day of the week, it does not matter. When we have the ability to be here, we be here. When we, through illness, and I'll even give to a certain extent a work schedule or a class schedule, things like that. And I know this is controversial. Hang with me. I don't see that as abandoning the services of God. Abandoning or refusing to, let's use the exact language here, forsaking, that's a little bit different. When I've got the same crowd, smiling faces here every Sunday morning, that's wonderful. When somebody misses because they've got chronic illness, they shouldn't have chronic illness and also a fear that the church is going to exclude them. If we have people who have definite schedules that cannot be moved and they're missing on a regular, they're missing one particular service on a regular basis, what are we going to do? Not have firefighters in the church? What are we going to do? We're not going to have police officers. We're not going to have medical people. We're not going to have nurses, doctors. We're not going to have people whose schedules aren't movable like that. So you're telling me we can only have people with 9-to-5 jobs and every weekend off, those are the only people who ain't forsaken church? No, we have a little bit of wiggle room there. Now, believe you me, I wish everybody was happy, wealthy, healthy, and didn't have anything going on anytime I decided we should be up in the church. That would be one, I wish that for you. But that's not reality. You can't make it to every Friday. You can't make it to every fellowship. You can't hang around for cake sometimes. These things happen. But that word forsaking is a pretty hard word, and we need to take it as a pretty hard word. When it's been 6 weeks and we ain't seen hide nor hair of you, and I come see, hey, how's it going? Oh, you know what? We've been doing travel league. We've been doing this. We've been doing that. We've just been so very busy. That is a problem. I knock on that door and somebody says, I have been ill. Forgive me, I haven't been able to reach out to you. I'm just coming back from the hospital. I'm going to be a little sad they had to walk through that alone. And I'm going to recommend that the church pour out every bit of help and service we can to them, that we pray for them. But that word forsaking is a hard word that means exactly what you think it means. We've got to have the maturity to know that if the doors are open, we should be there. But we absolutely cannot beat up people who are sick, beat up people who have jobs where there is no set schedule, or that set schedule is a certain way. Right? If you're here on a Sunday morning, you're here on a Sunday night, and you're here consistently, I'm not going to throw the word forsaking at you. Now, if you're getting a new job, when you shop around, and you should be shopping around for a job, if you're looking for a job, you should be shopping them. You compare them. You work Wednesdays? What about Sundays? I used to have that problem. I'd go in, the last job I had, I went in, do you guys work Sundays? No, we never work Sundays. Wonderful. What about Wednesday nights? You'll be free Wednesday nights. I go, that's wonderful. I love it. Saturday mornings? Well, every now and then we'll ask you to come in. Saturday mornings is when we did outreach at Fly Rock. Saturday mornings, we don't normally do that. They lied about every single last one of those points. And I said, well, see, you put it in writing here. When you wrote down the job description for me, you said that that was the case. So we got a problem here. And that caused trouble for me. But there's going to be some professions that are going to miss. There's going to be some shifts that are going to miss. And when we turn around and we see a heart that is always there. Sunday morning there. Hey, we got work to do. That person's work to do. That person's there. That's not forsaking. You know, we just lost a member. I got to be done here. I went off on a tangent on this. I hope you all ain't mad at me for focusing on this. We just lost a member. She passed away. Chronic illness. I assure you, the entire time I've been here, this woman would have a hard time walking through those doors. Was here once. The entire time. Why didn't we exclude her? For at least 3 some odd years, she hadn't attended. Because we knew where she was, and we knew that it wasn't a heart of forsaking. It was an inability. And there's no shame there. If God wanted you to do a thing, he'd give you the ability to do it. If you're bedbound with heart issues and body issues to where you can't even make it to your doctor's appointment without having fits for days after, there's no shame in that. We need to make sure that we follow the Bible to the letter of the law, and not to our desire to shame or humiliate others. We should be comfortable being sick here in church. We should have people who work third shift, fourth shift, ninth shift. I don't care. We should have them here in our church. Now, if we ever get the chance to get away from it, get away from it. But hey, we should have people comfortable going to college. We should have people comfortable getting sick, people comfortable taking vacations. Not to the point to where you are missing service on a huge amount. But that is a part of being submitted to the church. I'm mindful how much I miss. It bothers me when I miss. You know, I'm missing on Friday was terrible for me. Could you just go ahead, help me out. Pop a hand up if you came on Friday. Okay, all right. Three. Okay. Was it good? Was Aaliyah there? Okay. Was it just old dudes? That's why. That's all right. That bothered me. It's the first time in a long time I wasn't where I say I would be. It bothers me. My family's putting together, Danielle's family's putting together a big family vacation in June. And I'm sitting there looking at stuff going, well, that's going to take me out of a Wednesday. I've never just not been there on a Wednesday. And we're looking at it. Well, you know, we were kind of thinking maybe we'll leave on Saturday. I go, you want me to miss a Sunday? I haven't done that in, without being sick. I don't think I've ever actively not been there on a Sunday since I started serving the Lord. I've never been like, you know what, I'm on a trip. I'll be honest with you, I haven't had too many trips that didn't involve camp. The heart ought to be there to not. But we don't hurl the word forsaking for a vacation, for a work schedule, for things like that. There's churches out there, and I promise you I'd be done, and I'm not, but I want to hit this point good. There's churches out there that every now and then they'll have their police officers, their medical staff, they'll have people like that stand up, and they'll honor them and thank them for their service. If a cop starts to come here, and he's got a schedule that takes him out on a Sunday night or takes him out on a Wednesday, but he's here consistently, and he's serving consistently, and I rail on him, and I even do so from the pulpit, I rail on him. What's he going to do? He's going to go. Therefore, no growth. Therefore, no exhortation. And he's trying, and I know he's trying. We need to be real careful with that word, forsaking. Real careful with how we do stuff. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray I didn't overstep here. I know traditionally what we're supposed to do is say, even if you imagine being sick on a Sunday, we ought to beat you. But Lord, I don't think that's what you meant. Father, illness happens. Father, we know that not every shift is traditional. But Lord, I thank you. I thank you that every member of this church has been faithful. I thank you that when the opportunity arrives, your people are here. Father, I'm thankful that they're early. I'm thankful that they put up with all the additional stuff that I throw in there. But Lord, I pray this, that you teach us all to submit to you, to the Holy Spirit, Father, to the church. Lord, that we would consider her. We would consider the needs of both the people as well as the building. And that, Lord, we would count ourselves as a part of the group. Lord, we are just one member of the called out assembly here at Mount Morris. And Lord, I just pray that you continue to help us see ourselves as a part of it. And Lord, do no work to try to push people away for reasons of our own. Help us, Lord, to instead embrace each other and exhort each other, Lord, as we serve each other in submission to you. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.